We're driven by our values and we're driven by our code, which is something new that I'm going to talk to you about in a few moments' time. People are always above our programs. I want you to know in our church, engagement is not accidental. Engagement is highly intentional. We're spirit-led without being weird. Everyone say, we're not weird. We're not weird. We don't do weird, but we are spirit-led. We believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. We are mission-minded without diluting the life-giving message of Jesus. We have a commitment to allow Jesus to shape everything that we say and everything that we do. We are a relationship church is what we are. That means that we love God. That means that we love people. We don't tell it like it is. We tell it like it could be. That's what we do. We want people to dream and have a faith perspective on life to move life forward. We're not about perfection. We are about progress. And to prove that we're not about perfection, I'm going to apologize that I didn't play a video that I was supposed to play, and we're going to cue that video and we're going to play it right now. The TV's in the way, so it's going to block it a little bit, but look to the screens. We're going to play a video. That we're introducing, you'll find it on our website very, very shortly. And it's a few little statements about the kind of church that we are. Our code is this. Firstly, we believe in Jesus. We want to make that plain. We believe in Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is everything for us. And the goodness of what God has done is our motivation for all that we do. As a church, we expect the unexpected. We expect the unexpected. We are faith-fueled and faith-filled. We are here to advance and build. We have a focus that is on people that are not here yet. We don't just cater for believers that are in the room or online. We're catering for people that are yet to make their place in the house of God and in the church. So we expect the unexpected. We feel our faith. In other words, our church is fueled with heartfelt prayer and passionate worship. We provide life-giving expressions of faith that are passionate in our praise and worship. We have a culture of preparation and we have a culture of participation and also celebration. We don't have perfect people. There are no perfect people in the room, so everybody's welcome. We are not religious and we are not legalistic. Our goal is not perfection. Our goal is progress to move life forward. And we believe that authenticity with God and each other is the best way for a spiritual family to be healthy and whole. We want you to know we've got your back. We've got you're back. The strength of all of us is greater than the strength of any one of us. It's teamwork that makes the dream that we have work. We want you to know that we serve hard. We serve hard in our church because we're addicted to constant improvement. We want to do things as good as we possibly can. We want to make a difference and we're ready to sweat to make it happen. We want to make a difference and we're ready to sweat to make it happen because we provide environments where people can have God connection in, and that's what we are driven for. We love big. We love big as a church. We want to reach many and we never want to lose sight of the one. The one is very important to us. We go the second mile so that our church can have the feel of heaven in it. We go the second mile so our church can have the feel of heaven. We celebrate people from diverse backgrounds. from diverse backgrounds, people that are like-minded, one in spirit, and united in purpose. We consider everybody as somebody deeply loved and approved and valued by God. We do second chances, we do grace, and we do restoration in our church. We are not afraid to fight. We will fight for the vision. We will fight for the dream. We will fight for unity and the values of our church. We will fight for the vision that we hold as a church. And ultimately, we will fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are willing to protect the unity of our church. We take responsibility for our church. And we support the leaders of our church. And then lastly, for our code, we put God to the test. We put God to the test. In other words, our generosity is a trust issue. It's a trust issue between us and between God. We choose to believe God by giving sacrificially. We are a tithing church. That's our code. You're going to find it on our website very, very shortly. So let's answer a few questions today. Why are we here? Very simply, we are here because we want to build fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And we have a journey. And it's a journey that's it's on our wall in our foyer. It's a growth journey where we would connect, we would grow, we would serve, and we would reach, and we would give. So the journey starts with connecting, that we would ultimately connect with God first and His family. We connect with God and His family. We want to help people to grow in their connection. Secondly, the journey of growing in terms of building our faith together as a church. We're here to teach people to be strong, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The third part of the journey is to learn to serve and join a team. We believe that church is better when we do it in team. Church is better when we do it with a sense of participation rather than observation. We don't want viewers. We want people that will serve in the house of God. That's the kind of church we want to be and we want to become. And then finally, we will reach and give. And so with our reaching, we want to reach and influence our world by being an inviting church and a bringing church. We want to invite people into every room and every space and bring them into it so they can come on the journey of being a fully devoted follower themselves in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we're here also to be givers. That's where we give of our gift, and we give our gifts, our finances, to bless God in the way that we do our journey. Vision Sunday is the day where we speak to our church about making sure that we engage honorably with the Lord in terms of walking before Him financially in a way that honors Him. So I said before, we are a tithing church, and I want to encourage everybody to consider doing that in a practical way. And that practical way is to take up the thought of being someone that gives online, because we do a lot of stuff online today. Our service is online, a lot of our meetings are online, and our giving is also online. Like, we pay bills online. It makes it easier all around. And what makes it easier about that function is that we do it automated. My giving, our giving is automated, and we encourage people to do that because it's simple. Nobody needs to count it, and we don't forget it. It happens, and it keeps supporting the vision of the church. We have a strategy in terms of completing that journey that we just spoke about through those five steps. And that strategy is worked out through our growth track, which we've rewritten and reintroduced for our church. Our growth track simply helps people to understand the why of our church, the why factor. And in our growth track, we have four very intentional, specific steps for us to take as individuals being a part of our church. You'll find these in video format. We're going to record them this week. They'll be in video format within the month on our web page, our website. And there'll also be a manual that you can download to go through it with the video. They complement the video and work through it. And it helps us all grow in understanding the why of our church. So we'd ask everybody to participate in that. But particularly for new people, when they come to our church, rather than having come to a class at a one set time that we have, they can do it online anytime, anywhere in the world. Our growth track consists of four intentional steps as I said. The first one is that we teach people to be family. We just teach people how to belong and teach them about our church. We help people to understand they're formed for family and formed to be in a church family. We teach about our culture, our vision, our promises, our values, and our code, and we learn what it is to be family. You know, people need to learn what it is to be family because most people don't come from functional families. And so we need to teach behaviors of what it is to be someone that's in a family. The second stage of the growth track is all about knowing God, where we learn to believe. We grow in our belief of God and His Word, and we grow to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, living empowered by the approval of God, not the approval of people, but by the approval of God. And we learn the habits of what it is to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. In our church, we want people not just to be saved, we want them to be free. And there's a big difference between being saved and being free. So that means we want to lead people through the struggles and seasons of life and help them to heal. And we believe that the best way to heal is in community and is in connection with other people. And so that happens in our small groups. It happens in our connect groups that we run, where there is relationship and connection and community and wholeness that can happen. So our small groups, our connect groups, they meet in circles, not rows like we're meeting in today. They don't listen to one person speak, they listen to everybody speak. And people build real community, real connection, and they make real contribution in those moments. So that's where growth really happens for us, is in our small groups, our connect groups. The third component of our growth track is to learn to live purpose. And that's so that we would become everything that God has designed us to be. That we would understand we are called to live with purpose and for purpose and live out our God-designed plan. And then fourthly and lastly on our growth track, we want people to understand that we're in partnership together. So we ask people to join team somewhere and help build church, where we serve out of delight, not duty. We serve out of delight for who God is and what He's called us to do. We do that out of delight, not duty. And in that part of the course, we learn about the different team opportunities that exist here and the cultural responsibility of our team members. So what we do is expressed in our vision statement. We are here to reach the lost. That's why we exist, to make disciples and to build the church. They are our three priorities and focuses as a church. Our vision is reaching the lost. That's our focus priority as a church. People that aren't here yet, that are far from God. And we need to increase our reach capacity as a church, particularly in this new age with the post-pandemic ramifications. Now that we're online, we have online community joining us today, and we want to increase the reach of that and start campuses through that. And we can have church anywhere in the world because of these little cameras that are around the building today and the technical people that make that happen. We want to celebrate that as much as we celebrate this. We want to grow and increase in here. We want to grow and increase on there also at the same time. So reaching the lost is our priority. Secondly, making disciples is our priority. Can I be honest with you for a moment? Making disciples is the one thing that Jesus told us to do. And it is our biggest dilemma. It's the biggest dilemma of the church today. The Western church is confronted with this issue of not just having people that are viewers in church or spectators or observers in church, but are really committed to becoming fully devoted followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we're asking ourselves the hard questions about how do we disciple people that are in our online community, that are distanced in terms of being in other states or even other nations or other towns or in our community here that just can't get out to a physical. How do we disciple in that space now. And so we're trying to be as innovative, as creative, and as much on the front foot of leading that as we possibly can as a church. Because we want to mentor, we want to coach, and we want to develop people in their journey of knowing God better. So we do that through our Sunday services. We do that through our connect groups. We do that through giving people opportunity to serve, through our team talk nights, through leading people with vision and purpose. And it all flows out of engagement. Engagement. You know, it's one thing to come to a church and attend a service, even on a consistent basis. It's another thing to be fully engaged, to be fully engaged with it. And that's where we want us all to get to. And then the last part of our vision is building the church. Building the church is our absolutely big priority for us in terms of reaching the lost, making disciples, and then building the church. That's where we want to get to. So all of that information explains some aspects about why and who and what we do. But we very much have a now focus, and that's our mission. A now focus. We need to live in the now, not just the past is good, it's gone. We honor the past. We thank God for the past, but we have the now. That's all we have. We have the now, and we don't want to miss our now moment as a church. And so we want to focus on our mission. Our vision is way out there. There will never come a day where we achieve our vision. I'll never be able to come to stage and say, you remember how we said we wanted to reach the lost? Well, we've reached them all. It's never going to happen because there's new lost people being born all the time. Well, we can never say that. We can never say we've made all the disciples that we could possibly make. We're not going to be able to. We've built the church as big as it can possibly be. We're never going to be able to say that. But our mission is different. Our mission we can achieve. And so our mission is our now focus, and our mission is to strengthen engagement. We want to strengthen the engagement of the people that call our church home. And we want to be a church that's driven by engagement, not just attendance. Not just attendance. Marking a role is important for COVID reasons, but for no other reason. We want people to be engaged and come because they love God, they love the church, they love being a part of it, and they're on a journey of becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. And so we strengthen our personal engagement by investing in community, investing in connection, and investing in our contribution as individuals. Our theme for this year is exactly the same as 2020. We just put a line through it and we're living it out again this year. It's moving life forward. Moving life forward. Moving church forward. Moving family forward. Moving everything forward. On that note, can I announce to you today that Impact Care Services, which is our charity, our mission organisation that runs our food co-op that helps us minister to marginalised people, people that are struggling financially, people that are struggling with food, and we help them in many, many, many varied ways. We've just finally been successful in winning a contract with a grant with the Queensland Government through the Skilling Queenslanders for Work program, which empowers us to, over a 12-month period, the next 12 months, to invite 36 people to participate in doing a Certificate 2 in food processing course here at our church. So for 12 months, we'll have 36 people coming onto our premises, being trained by our people within our organisation. We've linked up with an RTO, a registered training organisation, to do that. We've been trying to do this for about 3 years now, actively. We've talked about it for about 6 or 7 years. It's a huge step, and we've been successful in getting that grant. It's a grant of $134,000 to help us do that. Most importantly, what it does is it empowers us to help people get back to work in our community. It makes our building active during the week, not just for services and classes and empowerment of believers, but for people that are far from God to come to the church to get help, to get back into work world and work life and careers, to provide for their family and their homes. And I just think that's a beautiful thing to do, and we should give God all the glory, all the honour and all the praise for that. That's a good deal. So here's some thoughts I have today in terms of sharing some preaching thoughts for all of us. You know, faith is all about facing forward. It's all about facing forward, making sure you're facing in the right direction. God's plan always faces forward. It always faces forward. If you want to follow Jesus, you can't follow him looking back. You can't follow Jesus living from the past. This trick and thought of dying to ourselves, which is what Jesus told us to do, that's all about dying to who you were so that you can live for who you could be. Live for who God wants you to become. So faith does not live facing back. It looks to the future. Facing forward is the habit of looking forward. It's thinking forward. It's talking forward. It's living forward. It's believing to take life forward. I want to declare to you that our church will always be a family and people that will face forward. We will always face forward and lean into the future of what God has. I want us to be a church full of faith and expectation and hope and confidence that the best is yet to come. We've not seen our best days yet. The best is yet to come. I believe that with all my heart. That's actually one of the great thoughts of Scripture right throughout Scripture. Paul says here in Philippians 3:13, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to yet have taken a hold of everything God took a hold of me for." He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, I strain towards what is ahead of me. I press on." We all need a bit of press. "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Isaiah 43 tells us to forget the past, forget the former things, do not dwell on them. God says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing for you." I want you to know God's got new things for us. God's got new things for us as individuals, as families, and as his church. Jesus said it this way, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." If you're looking back, you can't go forward. That's just a simple truth. If you're looking back, you can't go forward. Looking back works against the plan. It works against the purpose, and it works against the promise that God has for us. But looking forward is one of our biggest challenges. It's one of the biggest challenges for individuals and families. A lot of people, a lot of individuals, a lot of families get stuck in some stage of life, get bogged down because of things that happen. Because things are happening all the time. Things are always happening to us in life, and they can capture us. They can hold us. They can limit us, and they can restrict us. And people get stuck in destinations they were never called to stay in. They were never called to live in. People settle in regrets. People settle in mistakes. People settle in moments. Can I tell you that regrets, moments, and mistakes are all part of the journey? They're not the journey. They're all part of the journey, but they're not the journey. They're not the destination. They're part of your story, but they are not the story. In the Bible, in Genesis 11, there's a man called Terah, T-E-R-A-H. He's the father of Abraham, and he's called by God to go to this new and beautiful land called the Promised Land, well before Abraham, who we know was called to it. His father was. And his father was called to this land, and so he left on a journey with his family. But he got stuck. He stopped in a place called Haran. Now, we really don't know why he stopped there and why he settled there, but he did for years. What we do know is this. We do know that he had a son called Haran, who passed away. And so when he got to Haran, it's highly probable that there was this emotional pull and gravity that took a hold of him and just kept him in that place, in that moment of loss and in that moment of grief. You know, pain and grief and sorrow and loss, we will all visit those places in life. We all will. We'll all visit those moments. They are not our destination, but they are unavoidable. They are unavoidable for individuals, for families, for organizations, for churches. They are unavoidable. They are part of the journey. And if we keep living and reliving pain and regret and loss, what happens is we stop living. So let's not ever stop in a place of pain or loss or sorrow. We're all going to go through our stuff, but don't let the stuff stop you. Don't let the stuff, the challenge, stop you, and don't let it keep you reliving the moment. Don't memorialize past seasons of life. We've got to get through what we're going through. Turn to your neighbor and say, get through it. Get through it. Say it with a bit of passion. Get through it. We've got to get through what we're going through. Don't get stuck in our valley. The valley is not the place to stay and linger. The psalmist said it this way: when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You know, the valley's not a place to reside. It's not a place to hide. It's simply a place you're going through. It's a place you go through. And he speaks of God leading him. In our story with Terah and Abram, Abram actually got through what his father stopped in. And it's shared in Genesis 12 where God spoke to Abram and said, I want you to leave now. I want you to leave your country that you've settled in here in Haran. I want you to leave your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you, this promised land. And he says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a great blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'm going to curse them, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his cousin, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And so the blessing that Abraham found was in getting up and getting out of the place that he was stuck in. And sometimes the blessing that we pray for, believe for, fight for, and want is simply found in getting up and getting out of the stuckiness, out of the stuckiness that we find ourselves in. We need to learn to get unstuck. Turn to your neighbor and say, get unstuck. Get unstuck. Unstick yourself from what you're stuck in. I don't know what you're stuck in. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what your pain is. I know last year caused a lot of pain for people, a lot of heartache for people, a lot of sorrow for people, a lot of separation, isolation, and loss for people happened as a result of this pandemic. Don't let it rule your whole life. Don't let it stop you, hold you, cause you to lose your purpose and your vision and your faith in God. Whatever you're going through, you simply need to go through it. You simply need to go through it. The family that looks forward is the family that moves forward. What we focus on affects our direction. That's why our vision is so important. Our mission is so important, because it helps us to move forward. And so 2021, our dream, our plan, our desire, our prayer, our hope is that we would move life forward and we would keep looking forward. Joshua, the great leader of Israel, said this. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I ask you a question? What's your house going to do? What's your house going to do? Joshua stood before all the people and the rulers of all the tribes of Israel at the conclusion of his life and ministry, and he said, you know what, as for me and my house, all of us, we're just going to be all in and we're going to serve God. You know, it's one thing to speak it like that. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to keep doing it. When you're in the struggle, when you're in the challenge, when you're in the heartache, when you're in the pandemic, when you're in the adversity. I think the beauty of church is this. It's just a beautiful thing to have friends and family around you that are great examples of how to move forward in life when life is not good and when life is a challenge and life is hard. For those people, when storms hit their world and their life, they don't implode. They continue to move through the valley, through the challenge, through the season. They keep trusting God. They keep belonging in church. They keep worshiping Jesus and lifting their hands when they feel everything but like doing that. They just keep leaning in. I love those people in my world. I love those people surrounding me. They inspire me. They encourage me. I want my friends to be those people. I want my family to be those people. I want my church to be those people. Because when you're in your storm, your challenge, your trial, your loss, your sorrow, and your moment, they're the people that will hold your arms up and help you in those moments of life. I want us to be the no matter what kind of people. The no matter what kind of people. You know, our journey, as we said earlier, it's not about perfection. It's simply about progress. I may not be where God wants me to be exactly in life, but I am far from where I used to be. I'm far from where I used to be. I'm on the journey. Lastly today, or I think it's lastly anyway, we miss the future if we hang on to the past. We miss the future if we hang on to the past. You know, when you're into that middle zone of life and it hasn't all happened yet, but you're believing and wanting and praying for it to happen, you miss the future if you get stuck in that middle moment and just hang on to that middle moment. And I think for churches, for the modern day church, we've really got to educate ourselves. That's why I take the time on days like today to share the information. We've got to educate ourselves about the kind of church we want to be and the kind of church that we are, because I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that are stuck in church world and church life with what they want or expect, and they want it to be like it used to be. Well, it's just not what it used to be. And it's one of the great emotional dilemmas for me as lead pastor, that the church this year is not what it used to be last year. It's very different now. It's different with the in-room experience, the physical experience. It's different now to have an online experience for people and to have people meeting in homes today that are watching and participating and building with us. It's different to what church life used to be years ago. For some people in church world, they're still debating about styles and preferences and looks and songs and, you know, styles of preaching and presenting and the way the church does the journey. Can I say this about the church? The church is always growing and learning, and it needs to be. Our message never ever changes, but if our method doesn't change, we're going to be dead and we're not going to be here and we're not going to exist into the future. That's why I'm so excited about the community impact that we have as a church, because I want to help people in real and tangible ways. I just don't want to put the love of Christ in their heart. I want to help put food in their bellies, and I want to help get them educated where they're not educated so they have new opportunities. I think wherever the church is, life should be better. So let's not be the church that debates about styles and preferences and things that nobody really cares about and theological debates. That's not our kind of church. We don't get stuck and hung up on sentimental issues in church life. We don't want it to be a certain way like it used to be years ago. Ecclesiastes says this in Ecclesiastes 7:10. Says, do not say, where are the good old days? The good old days that were better than these. For it's not wise to ask such questions. We need to live in the now, because the now is what we have. Live in the now, because the now is what we have. And the way to get unstuck is to learn this lesson. Live now. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, live now. Live now. There's a lot of good people that miss out on today and tomorrow because of yesterday. Don't let today and tomorrow be robbed because of yesterday. For some people, wishing it was they had the family of yesterday when the kids are all growing up. If the kids are growing up, thank God they're growing up. Thank God they're growing up. That is the plan. You don't want them little. You want them to actually grow up. Thank God you grew up. We've got to grow up and live in the now of life. Even with church, wanting the church of yesterday. I grew up in old school church from like in the 70s and the 80s. And I loved the songs like Honey in the Rock. And some of you are thinking, what? The Honey in the Rock? It's a song. We used to sing it. It's about the pilgrimage from the children of Israel, from Egypt into the Promised Land. And beautiful old songs, and I can still sing them today and still sense the presence of God, but nobody else in the room, unless they're in that era, appreciates it. Like honey in the rock, like honey in the rock. Tastes like honey in the rock. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For he tastes like honey in the rock. Could you imagine us singing that? I mean, we would have everybody that's over 70. Not that there's anything wrong with being over 70. I love all the over 70s, but we would just have a church of over 70s. But the problem with being over 70 is you're going to die. That is a reality, isn't it? I mean, you're one day closer to death than you were yesterday. Think about that. You're not living, you're dying. The good thing about death is the best is yet to come. Because this is not really living. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be captive to that. We want to be a church of all generations. We're not a young church. We're not an old church. We're not a singles church. We're not a couples church. We're not a family church. We're an everything church. We're just the church. We're the church made up of all kinds of different people. You know what the enemy is always trying to do? He's always trying to put us in a different time zone. Wishing for something back then, at a different stage and place in life. And it's one of the biggest things to make us miss our tomorrows. So don't ever let a momentum or a monument rob you of your new moment. Don't ever let a monument rob you of your new moment. In other words, always stay fresh. Always stay young. Stay young. I love 70-year-olds that are young, and we've got a few in our room today. You're young. You're younger than some of the 30-year-olds. Some of the 30-year-olds are older than they should be in the way they think and in the way they view life. And talk to some of the 70-year-olds who know that life is limited. They do. And so they're out there living it. They're doing it. They're doing everything they can in that phase of life. Always stay fresh. Stay innovative. Stay creative. Stay on point. Always keep a pioneering spirit as a church and as individuals. Always embrace the present and the future. Don't live stuck. Keep learning. Don't miss out on today. Live your now, because I believe with all my heart that the future is beautiful, because the future is all about the best is yet to come for us. So facing forward is simply continuing to do, for many of us, what God has called us to do. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep being faithful. Keep being the people that you are. Keep being consistent. Keep being full of confidence and faith, because God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. He's not certainly not finished with us yet. He still has so much to do. Would you stand to your feet with me, please, today? The best is yet to come. I'm excited for 2021. I'm excited for 2022. I'm excited for 2050. I'm excited for 2060. How old am I by then? I'm just excited for the day, for this day, for tomorrow, for every day. I'm excited for the new opportunities that we have. I thank God we're not the same that we used to be, that we've changed. The pandemic has, well, it's been horrendous. But in another sense, it's been dynamic. It's introduced so much new, exciting moments into our world and the way that we do things. And, you know, church world, like any other kind of business world, it'll never be the same. Again, it'll always be different. It'll always be different. Be okay with it being different. God wants to move your life forward this year. God plans to move your life forward this year. I pray you cooperate and work with God to move your life forward this year. Have a year of great hope, great expectation. And great hope and expectation requires great action. Great action. Faith requires steps. Steps. Intentional steps. Stillness does not bring promotion. Stillness and stopping does not bring the advancement that God wants to bring into your world. And so this year, be intentional about the steps that you take. Be intentional about the direction you face, where your head goes. Get it out of park and get it out of reverse. Get it out of stationary and get it into going forward. Moving
life forward 2021.
If you're in this room today, would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If you're in the room or online and you're joining us today and your world's stuck, your life's stuck, your soul is stuck, your mind is stuck, the first big step to getting free is asking Jesus to come into your heart. It's asking Jesus to come into your life. It's giving God permission just to take control and to take over. Using Bible language, it's inviting God to come into your heart to wash away your sins and to cleanse you, to cleanse you. It's something that needs to happen for every single human being, because every human being is stained by sin and is held captive by sin and is literally stuck by sin. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that we might be set free, that we might be saved and set free in Jesus Christ. If you're not yet in that personal relationship and zone and space with God, I want to invite you to ask Him to come into your heart today, to start the journey afresh today, to say yes to Jesus. Almost every person in this room has already made that decision, is already walking that journey today. But my question is, have you? Have you? Have you asked God into your heart? Have you asked God into your life? Have you asked God to move your life forward? It can't move forward to where God wants to take you until you ask Him to come into your heart and wash away your sin and make you clean today. Maybe you've made this decision a long time ago, but you know you're far from God today. Well, now's your moment to say, God, I want to come home. I want to come home. So if you want to make that decision today, I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high. If you're online, I'm going to ask you to put a comment in the comment column right there and just say, pray for me. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray God will come into your heart. I'm going to pray God will come into your life. I'm going to pray God will wash you clean from the stain of sin. I'm going to pray God will set you free so that you can live free and you can live for the future and not be stuck in the past. If you're making that decision, I'm going to ask you right now, where everyone else has their heads bowed, their eyes closed, because this is your personal space. This is your personal moment. I'm going to ask you if you'd lift your hand up nice and high. And I'll see your hand and I'll ask you to put your hand down. And I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Somebody else, is that you? Is that your decision today? Online, are you making that decision today? If you're making that decision online today, there's a link you can click. I said yes to Jesus. Click the link. Make a comment. Let us know you're making that decision today. We're going to pray for God to come into your heart and your life. Last time, did you make that decision today? Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you today. Thank you, man. Thank you. Father, what a beautiful thing it is when people say yes to Jesus. When they say yes to your Son, yes to your gift, yes to the one that you sent into this world to make things right, to make life better, and to help move life forward for people. So I pray, Father, for these three gentlemen and this beautiful lady today who are all lifting their hand to say yes to Jesus. And I pray right now by your precious Holy Spirit, and for people that are online today that are leaning in and saying yes to Jesus today, I pray, Holy Spirit, come into their hearts right now. Forgive them of their sin. Forgive them of their sin. Make them right with God today. Wash away by the blood of Jesus. Wash away their sin today. Help them to move life forward. Save them. Set them free is my prayer. And Lord, help them to move life forward and to realize the plan and the purpose that you have for their life. You've not finished with them yet. There is so much more. The best is yet to come for them. We declare that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you give those that made a decision to receive Jesus today a great hand today. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We're going to close our service right now by singing that song, Do It Again. I want you to sing it out with all of your heart. If you made a decision to receive Jesus into your heart and life today, when we finish this song, I'd love for you just to come to the front, if you would, for a moment. I just simply want to introduce myself to you, say hello, and celebrate with you the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life. If you made the decision online today, make sure you comment in the comment column for us. Let us know, and one of our team will be in contact with you. Come on, church, let's sing.